the extradition hearing of Dan Duggan, an Australian citizen and father of six who has been held in solitary confinement for 19 months at the request of the United States, was held in a magistrate court in Sydney yesterday. The court ruled Mr. Duggan is eligible for surrender to the United States. His hopes of avoiding extradition are now in the hands of the Federal Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus. He was arrested in a car park in Orange in central west New South Wales and accused of breaching American arms trafficking laws by providing military training to Chinese pilots in South Africa between 2010 and 2012. Australian journalist Mary Kostakidis has been covering the story for the John Menadue publication Pearls and Irritations. She spoke with ABC News Radio's Holger Brockman.
Mary, before we get onto the court hearing yesterday, give us a backgrounder on the Dan Duggan story. It sounds like something out of a John le Carré book. He was a US fighter pilot who was led to believe he was working for ASIO and US intelligence. Is that correct?
Yes, that's what he's asserting. Duggan was a US fighter pilot who married an Australian woman 20 years ago and settled here in country New South Wales, where they had six children, and he ran a joyride business called Top Gun using a decommissioned US military plane. Now, he also became involved in training pilots at an academy in South Africa, provided business leadership training, he says, and started up a consulting business in China. All this happened at a time when we enjoyed good relations with China to our mutual benefit. Duggan was apparently quite an active member of the Australian Chamber of Commerce in Beijing when the China-Australia Free Trade Agreement was being negotiated in 2015, where he argued for the inclusion of flight training. It was considered in Australia's interest, given the number of our citizens who were flying within China. However, that agreement was made at a very different political climate, because just a few years after that, China quite suddenly became a country we may have to go to war with, compelled by our alliance with the United States. Now, the two substantive charges and the third substantive charge that flows from those two, that carry a combined maximum sentence of 40 years or 60 years with the third charge, cover a period in 2012 after Duggan became an Australian citizen, when he trained Chinese pilots in South Africa. Duggan denies all the charges and maintains he was training civilian pilots and using open source material. Now, in a fascinating twist, Duggan says he was contacted by ASIO upon his return to Australia in late 2012 with a proposal he spy for Australia while in China, where he was planning to start up a business. Now, he met with them, he says, in a Hobart hotel numerous times, and they brought an American official along as well. He said he was unnerved by the request and the risk the activity would carry to his and his family's safety. They produced a document for him to sign, which was withdrawn, he says, when he told them he wanted his lawyer to look at it. Now, he said he felt so nervous about this that he considered not going to China at all, and after prevaricating, in the end, decided to go ahead with it on the basis that the country, his country was asking him to contribute to something he thought was important. He says he asked the document to be produced at the next meeting, but was told they forgot it and that it didn't matter anyway. Now, we don't know whether Duggan passed on information while he was in China, where he says for security reasons he spoke to an intermediary. ASIO officers had advised him to be very careful with his digital communication. On his return, ASIO met with him once and were to set up a lengthy debrief, he says, that didn't eventuate. Meanwhile, he received a letter signed by ASIO Chief Mike Burgess with an adverse security assessment, and soon after was arrested. Now, he complained about ASIO's conduct to IGES, and the report following the investigation is classified. But what we do know is that though his complaint was not upheld, IGES found an impropriety in ASIO's conduct, but we don't know the nature of that impropriety.
He was held on remand in isolation for 18 months in a security prison in Lithgow in New South Wales. On remand and in shackles, is that correct?
Yes, he'd been held for 19 months in a maximum security facility in isolation, which is in breach of UN conventions, and was shackled for the first year until investigators from IGES visited him. The harsh conditions he's detained in have caused him and his family severe distress. He says the prison staff told him they've never seen anything like it, and it was not a decision taken by the prison. So why these conditions? He's been on remand with no history of violence, not charged with breaking any Australian law, but at the behest of the United States. In addition, he's been deprived of the means to prepare and fund his defence, not allowed to use a computer, a basic tool available to other prisoners. His time with his lawyers is limited, his assets are frozen, so he's been stripped of agency. And one thing that seems common in extradition cases, Holger, involving the United States, is being dealt with severely from the get-go. This is part of the punishment for something that person has yet to be convicted of.
Do you think it has anything to do with the coming US elections and the US-China relationship, which has changed considerably in the last 10 years?
I think Duggan is caught up in carefully engineered anti-China sentiment emanating from both sides of politics in the United States. And Australia has well and truly nailed its colours to the US mast with AUKUS. We're part of the American presence, patrolling up and down the China coast, and according to some experts who are trying to warn the government, this is not a good idea. It constitutes a provocation. We've certainly been manoeuvred by some sections of the media towards an acceptance that war with China will be unavoidable. In this climate, being able to whisk Duggan back to a country he abandoned allegiance to because he swore allegiance to this country would be a show of might on the part of the United States, who assert he was training military pilots and reiterates our position in the pecking order. Not only was Duggan not an American citizen at the time of the substantive charges, he broke no Australian law at the time. So his legal team will argue this doesn't meet the dual criminality requirement.
Now, I'm surprised this was dealt with by a magistrate. What happened yesterday?
Well, this is the beginning of the process. The magistrate had to decide whether the criteria had been met under the Act and whether Duggan is eligible for extradition. But we have to remember that the evidence isn't tested. We saw in Assange's extradition hearings, which were before a magistrate and went on for 4 weeks in the United Kingdom, it didn't matter what evidence was produced because the battle of arguments where evidence is tested happens in the US. So assertions are made for which they say they have evidence. And if you say and have evidence to the contrary, when we get you over here, you can make those arguments. So there isn't really a proper opportunity to contest the evidence, to test the quality of evidence in the UK or here in this case. So the magistrate has found Duggan is eligible for extradition and has referred the matter to the Attorney General. Duggan's lawyers are now able to make a submission to the Attorney General because he has discretionary power to refuse extradition. Should he approve it, his decision can be appealed for judicial review.
What happened in court yesterday?
Well, it was all over fairly quickly. The defence team didn't contest the charges in this court. The magistrate decided the US application met the criteria, had Duggan rearrested, and the matter was referred to Mark Dreyfus for his decision.
Is the Attorney General looking out to ensure Duggan's rights are respected as an Australian citizen?
I think all Australians expect to be treated fairly. We live in a democracy where a social contract operates between citizens and the state that involves rights and responsibilities for both parties. This is a critical issue in this case, starting with the requirement for him to be held in such harsh conditions. The UN deems that anything over 2 weeks in solitary is classified as torture. There's a good argument that there's no reason he can't be at home with his family with an ankle bracelet or a policeman out the front while this process runs its course. If Duggan was an Australian citizen at the time and broke no Australian law, are his human rights to be sacrificed in the service of foreign policy? It also points to yet another law that would benefit from review. Laws are made at a given time, but it's considered good practice to review the way that they're operating. Mark Dreyfus will be expecting the magistrate's orders. What he decides will have enormous impact on this family of six children. But the case also sends a clear signal to Australians. If the US claims to have evidence you've broken their laws anywhere in the world, you're in very deep trouble.
That's journalist Mary Kostakidis speaking to ABC News Radio's Holger Brockman.